Gentlemen, to another exciting edition of the Vinny Eastwood Show, burning bright as always. Hey, anybody else notice how fun it is to make fun of politicians? It's even more fun than making fun of regular people who look stupid, because everybody knows who they are. And we did a great picture last night. It's on my Facebook. If anybody wants to go to my Facebook page, links are on the vinnyeastwoodshow.com. The banner says Irrational. And it's interesting because it's in the same font and characteristics and everything as the National Party, which is currently in control of New Zealand. And the Prime Minister, John Key, have you ever seen that game or heard of that movie Hitman, you know, the bald guy with the tattoo of a barcode on the back of his neck with the two little pistols, dark suit, that kind of thing? He's dressed in that suit. He's holding those guns, and he is bald like that prisoner guy who's the hitman. And it says, John Key, economic hitman, keeping it bankster for the Irrational Party. Isn't that great? And 20 shares overnight. That was pretty strange. Great to see everybody wants to have a good laugh at the expense of the elite, because nobody's got a bigger expense account than the elite, do they? Speaking of expense accounts, and by all accounts, quite notorious a man he is, it's John Wittenick from Get Out Debt Free. John, welcome to the program.
Hi, Vinny. How are you?
Somewhat fabulous. And yourself?
Yeah, very good. Very good. Great speaking to you.
Tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is you do, because this kind of, we've got 2 hours here to sort of focus on you.
Yeah, well, right. Well, what it was, started out a few years ago. I never actually thought I'd actually sort of set up a website or go out and do talks or anything. But what it was, I ended up in debt like a lot of people. And, you know, the debt collectors would phone up, and I started getting like really sort of nervous and scared of these people. And it was only when I sort of started looking into it in some sort of depth that I realized that there were sort of few sort of irregularities coming up the whole time. And, you know, I'd get one debt collector chase me, and then another one would chase me for a different amount from the same company. You know, it was like, it was all a little bit strange. And it was only when I actually started reading a book by Mary Elizabeth Croft that actually things started coming into focus. And I thought, oh yeah, there's something going on here. And I realized that the whole financial system was basically one big scam to fleece us of our money. So, yeah.
So New Zealand has conveniently appointed a financier as its prime minister.
Well, at least, you know, they weren't forced in. In Europe, we've got a couple of countries where the regular politicians have been pulled out and bankers actually put in, you know, totally disregarding even the pretend sort of democratic process. I mean, it's absolutely crazy.
It reminds me of, I met some guys from Slovakia and things like that, and they were talking about how the mafia was openly in control, you know, just,
yeah,
everybody knows it. It's not a big secret. Okay. And there's a lot more brutal standover-ish type behavior going on around what appears to be generally peaceful. And I think it's no different to what's happening now with the government. It's just that they're now becoming open about how they're a mafia gang that runs the country by brute force and scumbaggery.
Yeah, I think so. I totally agree with that. And, you know, it's not just, although it's happening in lots of different countries, these guys are working very much together. And the fact that it's happening, the same things are happening in New Zealand as they are in the UK, as they are in Slovakia. We know that, you know, this is a centralized control system, you know, by the banking, the bankers and the governments that are actually, you know, pushing this agenda.
So they are operating globally. They have control globally. Of course, there's a mechanism for all of this. It's called control of your country's central bank.
Yeah, most definitely. And my opinion is that the headquarters for all this happens to be in my... Well, it's actually not in my country, because it's actually in the City of London. And the City of London is an independent city-state which isn't part of this country. Just as the Vatican City isn't part of Italy and Washington, D.C. isn't part of America.
The three city-states, which are connected by the Trilateral Commission, which was set up by David Rockefeller.
So together,
they form the ecclesiastical, financial, and military power on the globe.
They certainly do. They certainly do. And they've all got these wonderful obelisks as well.
Yeah. Do you think maybe they're compensating for something?
Oh, I think so. I like that idea.
Yeah, because in Auckland we have this enormous erectile building called the Sky Tower. And everybody can see it. It's like, look at my knob.
Well, these guys are good. Yeah, you know, they're obviously, the fact that they're grasping for, you know, all this power and wealth, they're obviously very, very insecure inside. That's what it is.
So how do you deal with an immature person who doesn't play by any rules?
Well, what we do, we actually get them to play by our rules. And that's what I started doing. You know, on a personal level, we can actually start doing this. And if everyone that was actually having difficulty with debt actually started standing up, and, you know, I realized from being in fear of phone calls from debt collectors and things, I read Mary Elizabeth's book, and, you know, Mary Elizabeth Croft's book, which is called How I Clobbered Every Cash Confiscatory Bureau Known to Man, brackets, a spiritual economics book. And suddenly, you know, it gave me a lot of confidence. And I worked out how to actually, you know, there weren't template letters on the internet at this point. So I worked out how to put a template letter from what she said. She gave us clues. So I actually put the letters together and they seemed to work very well and gave me a lot of confidence. And I actually had started having a laugh when the debt collectors started phoning up. I'd have quite a laugh with them, you know, so it totally changed my reality around, you know, because one minute I was absolutely scared and fearful. The next thing I think, hang on, this is a big scam. I'm going to stand up to this. And it changed my life around. So what I did, I got a website up together, banged these letters out on the website, and it's just grown and grown from there. You know, that was about 2 or 3 years. It's about 3 or 4 years ago, actually, 2008. I set the website up.
Is it surprisingly unsurprising how fast it's grown?
Well, it's scary because it was like, you know, it took ages and ages initially. You know, the first people that signed up were my mates and friends and that. And then gradually get a few more people. And then now we're getting 100,000 hits. That's unique hits a month. So we're getting quite a serious traffic coming to the site now. And what's nice is that if you put in the search term get out of debt, we've actually overtaken the government web. Well, we're at number one on Google for get out of debt, and it's overtaken the actual government's own website. So, yeah, we like that.
Well, let's just say it's unsurprising that you wind up finding so many people who want to get out of debt, because... You know, you ask any group of people, whether you're at a party or at a beach or anything like that, raise your hand if you're not in debt.
Well, the thing is, I don't know what your national debt is in New Zealand.
400 million a week is what, 400 million a week is what we're borrowing, and we have 4 million people in this country.
Yeah, all right.
And we just hit the national debt, like, ever super uber mega upper limit, which was like $50 billion or something like that, more money than we'd ever owed anybody else ever before. We're like the Greece of the South Pacific.
Look, Vinny, tell me, how can every single country, bar one or two, be in debt? Surely there must be, you know, one or two countries that are owed trillions and trillions of dollars or pounds or whatever, you know? How is it that everyone is in debt?
I have an answer for you, and it lies to a simple question. In debt to whom?
Well, that's probably the answer. I'd say
whoever we're in debt to is the very reason why we're in debt. I mean, you know, pay the piper, call the tune.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. I mean, it is absolutely crazy that governments are having to borrow money with interest from central banks, which aren't part of the governments, aren't part of the countries. And so it's absolute, what it is, it's a mechanism for stealing our wealth. And it's working very well. It's very successful as that. You know, people say, oh, the economy is having problems. No, the economy is working absolutely perfectly for what it was set up to do. And that is fleece us of our wealth and keep us basically as debt slaves. But as I say, on a personal basis, we can actually overcome this quite successfully. And a lot of people are quite enjoying the process.
Well, you know, isn't it interesting that people do enjoy standing up for themselves once they learn to how to do it?
That's very true. Very true. And I tell you what, it changed my life around. And I've just had the, you know, it's been an honor to be able to share it with an awful lot of people. Because, you know, we've got a really busy forum now with people like sharing this knowledge. And it's so simple. It's so simple. What we do, we ask, you know, if it's a bank or a debt collector, we say, okay, where did you get the money from? Validate the debt. Show us where, you know, the banks don't lend people money. The idea that you get a loan is untrue. Because under fractional reserve banking, which is how we do banking on this planet, they create money out of thin air, which is absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Oh, we need some more liquidity. You know what liquidity means? It means liquidating everything that you've got.
Of course it is. Of course it is. This has been the plan all along, to basically steal the wealth of the planet, keep us in fear, keep us docile, keep us plugged into the television and do anything but actually question what the problem is.
Have you ever heard of the cartoon series Pinky and the Brain?
I've heard of it, yeah.
Well, hatch this idea, Brain. What we're going to do is we're going to distract an entire planet with completely docile programming media. And then meanwhile, while everybody's distracted through various wants and means, we're going to siphon every bit of wealth that they've got. And at the same time, we're going to get them to pay for products to us.
Yeah.
Things that we've cooked up that are going to kill them in the end.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely crazy.
And Pinky goes, well, I'm not sure what you were thinking, Brain, but I just wanted to play the banjo.
It is that crazy.
If we're in a crazy world, if you try to understand it, it's not worth it. Because how can you actually understand something that's crazy unless it actually winds up driving you crazy by thinking about it? Yeah. Whereas doing something about it, on the other hand, not trying to understand the other side per se more than you really need to, don't try and put yourself in their shoes because, hey, trust me, you don't want to be in a financier's shoes. Yeah. Goodness knows where they've been.
I wouldn't want to be.
Give me some good decent, honest folk who don't rip off hundreds of thousands of people a year individually and get them monstrously in debt so that they foreclose on their homes and have to bail their families out on the street. Okay?
Yeah.
I don't want that kind of person anywhere near my family. You know what I'm saying? It's just straightforward politicking. This is not the kind of thing that you do. If you're a thief, if you are a murderer, or if you're a violent, assaulting, scumbaggery do, I don't want to be hanging with you. It's just that simple. I think these people are more or less just elitist outcasts. You know how like in high school films or whatever, you'll have these goths who think they're better than everybody else and they just hang on the outside of the outskirts of the school or whatever, you know, and just say, oh man, everybody else is just scum, you know, look at them scuttling around, blah, blah, blah. You know, here's the problem here. We have a predatory elite who are very, very, very evil, have no concern for the future of mankind, and in fact, basically, have pledged to destroy it. Are we going to realize this before it's too late? How much debt do we need to get into before we're gone and we're dust forever and everything that anybody's grandparents had ever worked for and passed on to us just be snuffed out in a single generation's time? Think about it, ladies and gentlemen, while we go into this break. John Witterick from Get Out of Debt Free. We'll be right back.
On December 16th, 1961, the world turned upside down, then inside out, and I was born screaming in America. It was the tail end of the American dream. Just before we lost our innocence irrevocably, when the TV eye brought the horror of our lives into our homes for all to see. I was told when I grew up I could be anything I wanted. A fireman, a policeman, a doctor, even president it seemed. And for the first time in the history of mankind, something new called an astronaut. But like many kids growing up on a steady diet of Westerns, I always wanted to be the cowboy hero. That lone voice in the wilderness, fighting corruption and evil wherever I found it, and standing for freedom, truth, and justice. And in my heart of hearts, I still track the remnants of that dream wherever I go, in my never-ending ride into the setting sun.
Everybody, you listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live in the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the colonised nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. I love being a colony. It's awesome. It really is. It's like you're remote, but you're not isolated. You know, about 20% of New Zealand's population, like the population of people who have been born in New Zealand that are walking the earth today, live abroad. You know, could you imagine if 20% of the United States population was living abroad? What do you got, like 400 million people? It'd be like 60 million Americans living elsewhere on earth. I reckon it'd be rather fabulous, you know? Get out there, get amongst it, actually experience the world that you conquer. My very special guest is John Witterick from Get Out of Debt Free. How exactly does one get out of debt for free?
Well, Vinny, what you're going to do is, well, it helps if you get on the website because we got the letters on there, which is, I'll just give it a plug, getoutofdebtfree.com. And we got letters which actually work in, we got seven different countries, including Australia, New Zealand, US, obviously UK, Ireland, and a few others. So mostly the Commonwealth countries. And I would include America as a Commonwealth country, actually, because I don't think it ever really got free from the City of London. But well, anyway, I digress.
Who financed the Revolutionary War? King George.
Well, I know. It's crazy. I tell you, they don't teach that in history lessons at school, but when you start digging around through history, it's frightening.
Because it's the same scam over and over again through the generations. It's amazing that it's never been exposed.
Well, it's like a one-trick pony that they keep doing over and over and over again, isn't it?
So once the game plan gets exposed, the whole thing falls apart forever.
Of course it does. Of course it does. And I tell you what, so many people are seeing it now. I get the advantage of going around the country and meeting little groups all over the country, and I'm seeing it. And we see it on the internet every day. There's a huge number of people waking up. So, it's very exciting. But, just quickly going back to how we get out of debt. What we do, we just send them a letter and we ask them for validation of the debt. So, prove what did you have of value to give us? What did you lend us? Yeah, we say lend. Yeah, we're saying, well, they're lending us money. They're not lending us money at all. The idea of getting a loan is ridiculous because they can't lend us money because they create it on computer keyboards. As we need it, they create it for us. So they never actually had anything, yeah?
Yeah, you can't lend money off somebody who doesn't have anything.
Of course, that is it. And in fact, I tell you who creates the money. We do with our signature, because effectively they're turning the loan agreements and the application forms into promissory notes and then monetizing them. And so it's our money that we have created. It's not their money. They couldn't create it without our signature. That's my understanding.
Well, we play a part in the scheme.
Well, in as far as that we go along with it, yeah.
Hmm. What's the ultimate goal here? We were looking at, say, the global debt, financial crisis, derivatives, all that kind of stuff. It's more debt than the entire world's economies combined are worth.
Of course.
Like if all such debts of ridiculous, overspawned, overleveraged, gambled debt or whatever was all called in, the people who were calling in that debt would own the entire world.
Well, of course, and they effectively
there'd be no more thing. There'd be no such thing as private property anymore.
I mean, the other ridiculous thing is they're telling us that I'm sure you're getting austerity measures like we are, where they're cutting services because we've got to pay off this debt. Well, no politicians. There're no politicians in this country. There's only one politician on the planet that I know of. And he's being sidelined by the media at the moment, despite doing very well on the straw polls. But every single politician says, we have to pay off the debt. And none of them actually say, there's not enough money in circulation, so paying off the debt is impossible. So there's absolutely no point even trying. Because it seems that all the politicians on the planet tend to be in the banks' pockets. It's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, Ron Paul is standing up and saying, we've got to close the Federal Reserve because that is the heart of all the problems. But, I mean, how many politicians around the planet are saying that?
Well, I'd probably wager there's quite a few, except they don't get any limelight.
Well, that is true. And in fact, the only reason we know about Ron Paul is because we've been on the blogs and the websites that, there are so many people that just think he's sidelined. He's being sidelined by the media. But the thing is, the balance between the mainstream media and the alternative media is changing. I followed Ron Paul's, I followed his campaign 4 years ago, and he really was, I held out a lot of hope for him, but I mean, he really was marginalized, realistically. But, he never actually got on television. But at least this 4 years later, He's actually, you know, he's there. You know, you can actually see him, despite the fact they keep pushing him down the whole time. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we do see him here on New Zealand television as well, except it's more like a, wee, there he is. He's gone.
Yeah, well, you probably see more of them than we do. Yeah.
See, just major censorship. Like, this is the interesting thing about Ron Paul, is that Ron Paul has the support of the people. All these other guys, they only have the support of money, what money will buy them, that kind of thing. Yeah. Ron Paul is basically campaigning against these big money powers on the sweat of the backs of the American people. And I think that that's just fracking fabulous that he's actually coming this far at all.
Yeah. Well, you just listen to the way he speaks, and you can see he's just speaking the truth. He's not using fancy words. He's not trying to. He just speaks the truth, and that is it. And you know, and people like that, and they like the message.
It's the kind of person. It's the kind of person you want to be your leader. Somebody who's not going to, you know, shovel BS for a living.
Well, the thing is that, you know, the idea that we need leaders, like we're sort of like sheep that needs sheepdogs. We don't. We need, we got to forget, you know, they think they're in power. They are not. It's, you know, they are public servants and they've forgotten this and the power goes to their head. They haven't got any power. We have the power. And in a true democracy, they would do what the people want. But it's not a true democracy at all. It's nowhere near democracy. So
I think it's actually exactly. I think it's exactly near democracy because this is what democracy was supposed to do: to divide everybody up and allow them to conquer themselves.
Of course, I mean, if we had, you know, the rule of law in place, then we wouldn't need. I mean, basically, all governments do is create legislation. Why need more legislation? If everything was working perfectly, we wouldn't need legislation. Oh, yeah. We could allow everyone would just get on with it, you know? It's like, why do you need more legislation? Because it's
we
broken.
Should have. I just think we should have a moratorium on legislation, okay?
Yeah, we could do, yeah.
Seriously, the law that bans all laws, you know?
Oh, that's the one. Yeah, I'd vote for that one, yeah.
Yeah. You know, because every single time they pass another law, everything gets worse.
Well, the great thing is that just the laws that we have from being in the European Union, if you printed them out and put them on pallets and put them in trucks, I think you'd get 12, like, juggernauts. I don't know if you call them that in New Zealand. But basically, the biggest trucks you can probably get, you get 12 of them. Just to actually, those are just our European statutes telling us what size bananas we're allowed to have and what colour they've got to be. And, you know, it's absolutely ridiculous. And then there's our own legislation. I mean, it's crazy. We've got hundreds of thousands of laws that, how can anyone know that not to break them? It's just a control system. Well, and the government keep creating more.
You know what the trick is? You make enough laws so that somebody, and I mean, basically, at some point, everybody is breaking one of those laws. Everybody. There's not a single person alive today, whether or not they're an infant or anything else, that hasn't impinged on some kind of legal precinct or whatever. Okay?
Totally. Totally.
So basically, it just becomes selective enforcement.
Of course. And not only that, but just to get serious for one moment, that, you know, there's Robert Greene, who has been a breach of the peace 1 year in prison. And it took them, you know, a £500,000 campaign to actually get him behind bars. And what was he doing? He was handing out leaflets, basically highlighting a huge injustice. How crazy is it?
Well, and here's I've got a crazier one for you from here in New Zealand, mate. It is illegal to hand out leaflets on the sidewalk of any kind. even at a protest.
Oh, like, my goodness.
With hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. There was council people there chasing down people who were handing out leaflets and citing them and confiscating their leaflets and then prosecuting them, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and in America now, you're not allowed to feed homeless people. You're not allowed to offer them food. What sort of society?
Yeah, but you can offer them money. But you can offer them money what they're going to spend on booze.
Well, yeah. No, it is crazy. Absolutely crazy. The good thing is, though, it's changing. You know, the people are becoming more and more aware. And I don't know if you're aware of all these banking resignations.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've been following that on the... Yeah, we've been following that on the website. And I think we're up to, 358 at the moment. And it just keeps growing.
This is rats leaving a sinking ship. You know, I mean, it's like... Dude, there is no fracking way that all of those people who are the major banking heads of the world finance sector right at this particular moment can't see the way it's going. All right? They all know.
Yep.
And the only people that are stuck in there, I'm just wondering, what's their motivation for still being in there? Or is it just that they haven't resigned yet? Are we going to have like... even more mass banking executive resignations as the elite bankster scumbaggery, you know, boardsmen and what have you, start yelling their orders and telling you to do horrible things and what have you. And all of these people are just like, you know what? No, man, I'm not going to do it. Are they all going to quit and then the banking system is just going to suddenly lose out all its power because an entire section of its enforcement arm has just been taken out?
Well, I certainly think it's going that way. I really do. We know that there's huge amounts of money being bounced around the globe at the moment because $15 trillion found its way into the City of London, which couldn't be traced. And, you know, a lot of the time, years I've been
Did you say couldn't be traced?
Well, allegedly.
Was it delivered via Spider-Man?
Well, I think this was actually physical, you know, being sort of charged around. But we actually
heist with an armored car kind of thing.
Did you hear the story about one of the lords in upper chamber?
No.
Lord James of Blackheath.
I think we'll talk about the Lord's upper chamber after the break.
Oh, right.
And that was not a sexual reference. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. John Witterick from Get Out of Debt Free. We'll be right back.
And live from Chateau de Rothschild on the beautiful Waiheke Island, sailing out in the Hauraki Gulf in the fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand. Welcome back to my very special guest as well, John Witterick. And much Vinnie. Mafioso going on all over the place.
Welcome back. There's a bit of mafioso in all of us. Mine escapes, especially when it hears the Godfather theme song. Apologize. He won't be back this segment. Now, getting out of debt, I'm thinking, why is it that people have so willingly put themselves into such astronomical debt? Like one particular strain of this debt bug that I see is university. My goodness, of people getting massively in debt for a degree that gives them nothing. Everybody's got a degree. And now, whenever you get yours, you ain't got nothing. John, are you there?
I'm still here.
Yeah. Maybe a bit silent, me old chum.
No, I'm still here. I mean, I think when I went to college, I was actually paid to go to college. We actually got money from the government to actually cover our expenses, all tuition fees paid for. I mean, okay, it was a couple of years ago, but it's absolutely crazy. I mean, it's almost like you're selling your soul to the devil before you start work.
That's why I advocate people should really consider having a gap year or two, you know?
Yeah, most definitely.
You lose so much earning potential going straight out after that, and you don't learn to have a work ethic and know what it's like to be in the working world. You don't have any experience or anything like that. And ultimately, if you wanted a job in a particular industry or whatever, you're better off volunteering and not getting into debt.
Most definitely, yeah. But it's this whole plan, and now our local McDonald's has got so many graduates. It's absolutely crazy. And it's very sad for these kids that had, big ideas, but I mean, nobody's taking on, these poor kids are getting into huge debt. And they're not getting this almost like the American dream, which has been pushed on to all these other countries now. And, it's not happening, we thought it would.
Yeah. I mean, you think you're going to come out and you're going to start being successful or whatever, and you wind up serving people a double degree with cheese.
Well, yeah. But let's think about where the word degree comes from. It's
doesn't come from Freemasonry.
It's all part. Why is it you get a mortarboard and the black robes? It's all a big Masonic occult ritual.
And look at the people that are higher up in the stage that are getting and wearing the mushroom hats of the mushroom cult. Oh, yes.
Of course. Yeah, and then we got the fish hat pope.
And then you notice everybody's obsessed with their hats. I wonder if there's some kind of a baseball cap cult, or do they just call that the Red Sox?
I'm not sure. Could do an evening on hats, though, couldn't we?
Yeah, I quite like hats. I have quite a few of them. We could do a whole evening show of hats, think about this. Like the pirate hat, for example. I reckon, speaking of draconian legislation, let's pass the mandatory pirate hat financier law, all right? Every person who's a financier must wear a pirate hat at all times, just to let people know what's going on.
Well, it's like if they did the same as Formula One drivers. All politicians have to wear overalls with their sponsors' logos all over. And the bigger the logo, obviously, the more money they get. So we've got an idea who's paying for them.
You know what? That's an idea. You know how public schools have, say, a uniform, right?
Yeah.
And... Yeah. This is what people in Parliament should wear, actually. What do you think about politicians actually wearing a uniform?
Yeah, I like that. But as I say, as long as it's got badges on with their sponsors, because at least then, we know who we're supporting.
Yeah, I think this would actually be something that would make the whole political game just a little bit more transparent.
A little bit more. It's not at all at the moment.
Well, yeah, I mean, we'll make a lemonade out of lemons here, aren't we? This is the problem. We've been given all these false choices. Have you noticed? You know, just like this is the guy over here, this is the guy over there. The way, they're going this way and that way, and one of them's wearing a different suit, one of them's wearing a different tie. Oh, yeah, go and vote for one of those people. Come on. They're all backed by the same people anyway. Because if walked up to the podium to oppose each other and they're both wearing BP, Exxon, IG Farben and Monsanto and Heineken, then you'd think to yourself, you know what, bro? I don't think that both of these people are really playing against one another. I think they're working together, kind of like Tweedledum and Tweedledee.
Totally.
Imagine what would happen if you called them out. And, I mean, the whole idea of throwing fruit at political meetings, you know, like in the Dark Ages or something like that. Let's bring it back. I think that's...
I like that.
Many a politician deserves a cabbage to the face. I must say.
I'm thinking eggs, flour, messy stuff.
An ixnay on the canned fruits.
Empty beer cans.
Cigarette butts.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Now imagine David Cameron walking through like the Bar District in London or something like that, and all of a sudden people just start tipping beer on him, throwing their cigarette butts at him, chucking their burgers and their kebabs at him, throwing curry at him.
I tell you what, when the truth finally comes out, you know, I think these guys are going to be very lucky if that's all they have to put up with.
Because they really don't want that to happen at the end of the day. No, they don't want riots and chaos and everything. They just want everybody to, you know, experience terrible fracking debt crises and then just accept a new world order. You know, it's just like, okay, all right, we're all in debt. Give us a new currency. The central banks can control the currency and regulate everything out of our hands. Go for your life, yeah. That's what they want. They don't want us to, you know, get up and stand up and fight back and talk about it. They want us to just sit at home and get depressed by ourselves and not really connect with anybody else, not organize.
That's right.
So, if you want to beat your enemy, you do the exact opposite of whatever he wants you to do, essentially. They want you to stay at home, go out. They want you to not talk to people, talk to somebody. They want you to do nothing, do something. Okay? It's just that simple. Have a look at everything in the world that other people want you to do. Figure out whether or not that's actually part of some very scary agenda, which most things are. You know, it's like somebody says, Vinny, you see a conspiracy in everything. And it's like, well, no, not everything's a conspiracy, just most things. You know, don't be naive about it. How do you think a global conspiracy at all exists unless virtually everything has been tainted by it? Every aspect of officialdom, certainly. And all the people that are organizing their own small groups and everything like that, there could be COINTELPRO, there could be other scary stuff going down, you know? You never know who's been setting up. And again, this is part of the agenda to just make you paranoid so that you won't listen to people, so that you won't trust anybody, so that you'll become overly pushy and not see the reason in somebody else's voice when they're trying to tell you that what you're saying isn't true. Okay? That's what they want you to do. Don't buy into it, you know? Be a good cat, like me, like John, like any other people we had on this show, like the callers, like the listeners. Be cool, man. Don't be a douchebag. It's not worth it, because who wants to hang out with a douchebag? I certainly don't, which is unfortunate, because I'm kind of stuck here with myself all the time, and I'm a bit of a douchebag. John?
Yeah?
Do you have a website, mate?
I do have a website. GetOutOfDebtFree.org.
GetOutOfDebtFree.org? GetOutOfDebtFree.org. Okay, there we go. Thrice it has been repeated. Hopefully people will remember it and check it out over the break. And we still have John for another hour. So I want to actually start getting into some of the nitty-gritty details about physically how you use this website in order to get yourself out of debt for free. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll be right back after the break. On the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, AMFM affiliates across America and around the world. Welcome one and all. John Witterick is my guest from GetOutOfDebtFree.org. Now, the principal concept that people, I think, get confused about when it comes to finances, John, is that they think that they're actually dealing with an honest person when they go and get a loan.
Yeah, well, that's one of the problems. Yeah. Well, just the word loan, we know that's a ridiculous word to use.
Yeah, yeah. So, essentially, you could define finance in most forms of it as simple fraud.
Yeah.
Okay. Totally. So, whenever you're going in to get what they call a loan, just know that you're dealing with somebody who's a fraudster. Just by the dictates of the position.
Yeah,
is that about right?
Yeah, definitely. That's how it goes. Yeah,
man, that's unfortunate. Because you know what did a good banker used to do? Wasn't there like this movie called "It's a Wonderful Life"?
And that's a classic.
What's happened to all those good bankers? I think it's because they were naive enough. They didn't think that the rest of the bankers were all fraudsters and thieves and mafioso scumbaggery types. So they wound up getting set up because they were too naive to see what was going on.
But they couldn't have actually been in that position without the politicians passing laws, taking away the gold, setting up central banks and all this. So originally banking, you know, might have been actually... Well, the whole thing, it goes down to the fact that originally money was supposed to be a means of accounting so that perhaps you and I could trade our goods with each other or our services with each other. And... you know, the idea of money has been taken away from that, and now it's turned into some sort of commodity which a government own and has to be sort of lent to us. I mean, it's completely crazy. And the idea of money is just so far away from what it's supposed to be, like a, you know, a means of accounting. That's all it's supposed to be.
Well, how exactly do we get out of debt once we're in it? Like, let's say we've signed up to a credit card or a mortgage or any of these other things. The bankers haven't actually put up any consideration. Like, they actually don't stand to lose anything by giving you this loan. If anything,
that's true. That's
worst
true.
Case scenario yeah. for them, they wind up owning the property that you were thinking about buying.
Well, that is their plan. If you've got a mortgage, you know, if you own property, then obviously that's what they want. But you know, as far as, you know, if it's a bank account you've got, or, you know, credit card, loan, something like that, it's actually very simple to get out of debt. Because what we do, we ask them to, you know, validate the debt. We actually want the accounting, you know, prove that you actually lent us anything. And, you know, verify your claim. You know, give us a sworn affidavit or a hand-signed invoice or something like that. Or, you know, can we have a copy of the contract? And sometimes you get, you know, you just get the application form for the credit card. Well, that's no basis for a written contract. Because for a start, you know, the bank doesn't actually sign it. You don't get a wet signature with the name of the person underneath. So you might get a squiggle with, you know, no idea who that is. And that doesn't constitute a written contract.
Do they teach ancient runes in banks, and that's how they do their signatures? Because I've seen many a banker's signature, and it just looks like a whole bunch of like Russian chicken scratches to me, man.
Well, they don't learn it in banking, but you'll realise that most bankers actually if you want to get anywhere in banking, you actually have to be in the Masons.
So the Masons teach you how to write that scribble?
No, what they do, it all comes from Egypt, and I'm sure they're doing in hieroglyphs.
Yeah, okay. So these people have, like, replaced their names with a hieroglyph. Like the artist formerly known as Prince became a symbol, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they use symbology. I mean, look at the dollar bill, you know?
So do they consider themselves the gayer-than-gay Prince of Darknesses?
I'm sure they do.
Yeah. That's the financier mindset. I'm a Prince of Darkness. I have a squiggle for a signature. And you can't do anything to stop me. Wetbacks. These people. And it's hard to not feel kind of this hate and vicious anger at the malice and the cruelty of the predatory elite banking class, you know, because you know that they're not doing it by accident. You know that they're doing it intentionally because they're hiding their actions. They're doing everything completely and utterly deliberately. So how do you fight somebody? How do you change a paradigm when you've got an enemy who is willing to go through any lengths and is openly corrupt? Okay, because they don't play by rules. You know, how can you get them to play by our rules, as you say, because they don't follow any?
Well, I think what we do on the website is we empower people, and, you know, we don't advertise the website. You know, it's purely on, you know, natural Google ranking and people sharing, you know, what they found with the website. So, you know, it's actually growing. And this year, in the first 3 months of this year, we've almost doubled the number of people actually coming onto the website. So it's almost like this is how we overcome it. It's like, you know, I'm talking about our website, but there's websites all over the planet, and there's radio stations. We're all talking, you know, we're all coming from the same hymn sheet. We might have slightly different ideas about certain different things, but we all realize what the situation is, and we're empowering ourselves and then empowering other people to overcome these difficulties.
Yeah, and it's not because we have to. It was because we choose to.
Well, of course, of course.
Somebody, I forget who it was, they were talking to me about how they don't really care about people at all. Like, they just live up there in their apartment. They only work 3 months out of the year, and they just watch all the people walking down on the street like they're cockroaches scurrying around, having to hurry about and things like that, when I can just sit on my couch and do nothing all day if I want to.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very poisonous way to feel, because it kind of sets you apart from everybody else. You know, we're all basically the same sort of thing. I mean, we don't have to associate with each other if we don't want to, you know. I feel free to reject anybody who does not inspire me, encourage me, or appreciate me. So, yeah, thank you very much, because life's too short for toxic people to ruin it.
Yeah.
There's another part about finding your resistance streak. Something bad has to happen to you, right? Before you suddenly wake up and realize, whoa, hold on a second. I'm not doing the right thing here. I've got to completely change direction and do something else. There has to be some kind of bad experience a lot of the time with many of the people. I was just wondering, John, how was that experience for you?
Which one?
Well, I presume there might be a cascade.
Well, for me, you know, it was long before my, you know, the debt crisis was a very tiny part of my life. For me, I just felt there was something wrong with this planet or my life or whatever, because, it was like I'd have a short time where I was very, very successful. I would do one thing and it would work out all really well, and then it would just, everything would collapse and I'd end up, you know, losing everything that I thought was very important. And then, so I'd go off in a different direction and very successful for a little while, and everything would collapse. And I can remember I was a year out of work, and I started reading books and looking deeper and deeper into, also I started reading books about quantum physics and different religions and philosophy. I read the Tao Te Ching, and I started sort of looking for something almost, and I ended up looking inside myself, and went through quite an interesting sort of procedure. But it was actually, I started then questioning everything, and so every time I sort of like heard something on the news, I'd question it. And by doing that, it's almost like there was a veneer that disappeared, and I started actually start getting to the truth. And that's when I started thinking for myself. And when I started sharing with those people who were ready, when I started sharing it with them, it was, I realized I could, like, the way I was helped, I could actually empower other people.
But, you said those people who were ready, what do you define as somebody who's ready?
Well, I think you know pretty quickly, because if somebody says, yeah, I know what you mean, yes, or if somebody says, no, you're mad, you know, then they're not ready. I think you, but what you can, if people aren't ready to hear the truth, and a lot of our, you know, our families, in lots of cases, it's our, you know, people who are quite close to us. I've got lots of dear friends of mine who aren't ready to hear what I've got to say. But what you can do is just plant seeds. You know, there's no way you can say, look, 9/11 was an inside job. There was thermite in there. You know, it's like, they're not ready for that. So what you do, you just plant a little seed. You just say something and then brush it off. And it'll go into their subconscious mind in exactly the same way as stuff on the television. They plant little seeds of fear and doubt. Well, we can do that. You know, we can do the opposite. We can actually plant little seeds of questioning things and empowering people and set them on the track. And, you know, they'll go away and go and start thinking about it.
It's like counter-subliminal messaging. And you'll be surprised how many people are talking about this kind of stuff we're talking about nowadays all over the place. A mate of mine went into a juice bar the other day, and within a space of 10 minutes, they had about four people who randomly didn't know each other or anything, who were all sitting around having a big discussion about all this kind of stuff, you know? It happens all the time, randomly. Okay, yeah, we're everywhere. Yeah. I was pulling into Wendy's one time to get a burger. And he asked me what I want for my drink with my combo. And I said, oh, no, do you have anything that isn't artificially sweetened with something that's going to give me brain poisoning? And he goes, we've got water, but that's got fluoride in it.
Yeah, you're in Auckland.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I was just like, ah, it's a truther on the other end of it. It's just like we're everywhere. You know, it's like it's real funny. It's real funny because a lot of truthers are very convinced that you know they're alone and whatever nobody will ever all get together and they've got a very very rugged individualist and yet. It's not kind of the whole rugged individualism that will really, really shine through and make everything great. It's actually the cooperation with other people that are of a similar mindset that will really set you apart.
Totally. Yeah, totally. You can
accomplish so much more together.
Yeah. And we're seeing it, you know, we're seeing it in internet chat rooms, we're seeing it in forums, we're seeing it on websites. And I'm seeing it, you know, in my travels all around the country and festivals in the summer. You know, it's like the yearning. We're ready for, you know, and the fact that we're in 2012 and the, you know, the Hopi prophecies and the Mayan prophecies, you know, these guys seem to know something because I'm sure it's not just happens that this year things are happening at twice the speed that they were last year. And I don't know if you're feeling that, Vinny.
Yeah, well, I do think things are hotting up, man. People are people are talking more. People are reaching out more.
Yeah, they are. They are. And I think people are sharing more as well. And, yeah, I just feel that it's almost like, for the last few years, I felt, you know, when you're going up a roller coaster, it goes click, 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 and it takes ages and ages, and you're going uphill, and then you sort of, like, plateau a little bit. And then, you know, the brakes go off, and you look down, and you feel like you're accelerating. Well, I feel we're just getting to that point where we're just over the brow, and we're just starting to speed up, and the next, like, few years are going to be that hurtling downwards, holding on with your knuckles, flying up and down. You know, it's, yeah, we've got some exciting times ahead of us, and I'm looking forward to it.
It's akin to what happens when an elevator goes down, you know. It's just like, whoa. It's like we're going through this quantum phase shift, and I think it's like people are opening up, right? And and it happens a lot of the time when you're in really serious or extreme situations. People's inhibitions tend to kind of melt away to a certain extent because they don't think they're really relevant anymore. And unwittingly, they find out that they were never relevant. you know, so they start communicating a little bit more openly. They start trusting you a little more. And that's just a degree of familiarity and having the hands-off approach. You know, you don't have to push a conspiracy theory into somebody's face in order to get them to recognize it. You only need to mention it but once, and as soon as they say that they don't get it or they don't want to hear about it or something, leave it.
Yeah, no, and that's very true. And that's what, you know, when I started talking about this, I didn't realize that. And I was like going around to everyone, hang on, look, you know, this isn't right, that isn't right, the banking's a scam, 9/11 was an inside job, you know. My family thought I was a loony.
And then looking back on yourself, you think, man, I actually probably was acting a little bit loony. And there is, in fact, more reasonable ways to approach it sometimes, you know.
With hindsight.
Yeah, well, hindsight's 2020, kind of like the news program. We'll be right back after the break.
To fly to New Zealand by plane from New York City, it takes 22 hours. So from the Twin Cities, 19. I mean, I fly all the time, and 6 hours on a plane is like a lot, and 19 is wrong. And they distract you. They feed you, and then they feed you some more, and then they feed you, give me a dessert. Have your dessert, you prick, give me that dessert. Have a Bloody Mary, yeah, give me a whiskey sour, yeah, give me whatever you got. Just more liquor, more liquor, more liquor. And then when you're done, there's still 16 hours to go. If you want to know what it's like, you can experience going to New Zealand. It's very simple. Sit in a chair for 19 hours and take your hands and press your head as hard as you can. And don't stop. 19 hours just like this. And then at the end of 19 hours, you pull your hands off and you feel like you're in New Zealand. You certainly won't feel like you're home. They say that New Zealand's beautiful. And I don't know, because by the time I got over the jet lag, I had to go. And it seems to me, if you're going to travel for 19 hours to another country, when you get there, they should have the common courtesy to speak another language. I did not fly all this way to hear English again.
Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulous little fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand. And I love this country. So overpopulated with scumbags in the government. There's been so many scandals, so much tragedy and cacophonies of scumbaggery. It's awful just watching these people dance their little monkey dance. Speaking of which, you got to actually have a look at the dances they do and learn the steps so that they don't dance all over you. There's a little bit of poetry for you. John Witterick is my guest, and we wanted to talk about an overview of your particular website so that people can, you know, get themselves out of debt free.
Yeah, well, the website, you know, basically what we do, we offer people letters to deal with banks, to deal with debt collectors, to deal with bailiffs, solicitors, and then the forum goes even broader than that. In the forum, you know, we've got utilities, we've got government agencies, so we're looking at you know, the income tax or whatever it is, whatever country. So and we're also now, you know, we've got latest news. We're getting sort of like every few hours, well, on the hour, you know, we got stuff coming out in the news the whole time. So we're getting some fantastic alternative news being posted at the moment. So it's quite, the site is quite busy, and there's a lot of people sharing information. And for anyone that's sort of thinking about sort of like trying to deal with like dealing with these fraudsters, it's a great place to come on, and it's like a community site. So you come on, and if you're stuck, get on the forum, you talk to people. We've got a chat room, we've got video tutorials, we've got ebooks. There's a lot of quite a bit there to actually help people out.
Just thinking about this now, I've got like some credit card debt, student debt, personal loan and the whole works or whatever. How many letters would I need to send? And is that all that would happen? Is I just have to send some letters and then I'd not have to deal with them eventually?
Right. Well, look, Vinny, the way it works is with banks, you've got two options. You've got the simple, you know, letters, which means sending three letters. And with the, if you copyright your name, you take common law copyright of your name, you then charge them every time they write to you and use your name. But so that, you know, that's a little bit more complicated. With debt collectors, there's a really simple option where you say addressee not recognized, because what they will do, they will write to you and they will say to Mr., Mrs., Ms., whatever, and that is a title. Now, they're using a title as titling your straw man, effectively. The title is that they own your title. And what you do, we actually write to them in the letters and say, I do not wish to be referred to as Mr., Mrs., Miss. My name is Jonathan of the family Witterick. And they will not do this. It always has to be Mr.
or your name in uppercase. And both of those are referring to a fictitious entity that was created with your birth certificate when you were bonded. And this is why they need your signature to actually release money from that bond. This is my understanding. So, yeah, what we do, the great thing is that we say, look, prove this. What we say, we're quite happy to pay you. No, yeah, I'm more than happy to pay you if you can validate the debt, if you can prove that we've got a contract. If not, then obviously, we'll give you a few days. But if you can't prove it, then what we will agree to is that the debt never existed in the first place, or it's already been paid off, or that any damages I suffer, you'll be held culpable, or that any negative remarks from on a credit reference agency will be removed. And we give them all this sort of stuff. But the fun one is that we say you will agree all fee schedules, so that if they can't prove that we're in debt, then we start charging them. And what we tend to charge is sort of like £1,000 a letter and £1,000 a phone call. Because, you know, at times, you know, they make up stupid charges. So, yeah, why can't we? And what happens is there's no law saying that we can't charge them. It's that people think, you know, they give us all these stupid charges and people accept it and get into debt. And I've had to close bank accounts because of all the charges that they've, well, not close them, but just leave them, walk away from them, because they've started charging me stupid charges. Because what they do, they'll give you a £10 charge. But, you know, if you go a couple of dollars or a couple of pounds overdrawn, you know, then the actual charges are so high, they put you more overdrawn, so you get more charges and you get a spiral. They plan to get you into debt. They don't say, well, look, hang on, do you need a bit of hand here? Do you want to come in and have a chat? Can we help you out? Is there anything we can do? No. What they do, they get you into more debt. And so what we do, we say, yeah, we actually turn around and actually start charging them like they charge us. And the great thing is then we invoice them. And not then do we just invoice them, but then we actually take them to the small claims court and actually start scaring them with the paperwork. Now, I don't know anyone that's actually, normally what happens with debt collectors, they're actually quite happy to write a letter saying, we will no longer pursue this. But it's just a matter of empowering yourself and fighting back. That's what we do.
Like a little rattlesnake or whatever.
Yeah, a big one. Yeah, lots of them.
Lots of big rattlesnakes.
Yeah.
Now, who's got the gall to attack a nest of big rattlesnakes? I don't know. You know, or who's crazy enough? More opera.
I mean, it is frightening because a lot of people that have sort of gone out and done a little bit, you know, work have ended up in strange circumstances and, you know, been suicided. But, you know, it's, yeah, we've just got to stand up and say what is right. And, you know, I feel it's, we've got to do it because we have the opportunity. And if we can help people and share this knowledge with other people, then, you know, like yourself, you know, we're doing it. Yeah.
Well, we have the opportunity, but we don't have a choice.
No, we don't really have the choice, do we?
Yeah.
It's got to be done.
Yeah. I mean, come on. It's like, have you ever, like, you know, tried to sleep in bed or something like that, sleep in late, but you really need to pee and you know that you can't get back to sleep? But you still persist in lying there, not sleeping, and not going to bed, because you don't make that connection between, you know, I just got to get up. I don't really have a choice.
Yeah. Now, for me, that reminds me of the film The Matrix, where, you know, there's something wrong. You can't put your finger on it. And, you know, you can't sleep at night. And for me, before all this sort of information started pouring out, I knew there was something. I knew there was something that wasn't quite right. And even from a child, I knew there was something not quite right. But I just sort of try to forget it and you bury it and you walk away and you pretend it's okay. But the trouble is, in the back of your head, it's like that feeling of having a full bladder and trying to get to sleep. In the back of your head, there's that little, and in the Matrix, they're saying that, you know, it's that little sort of like itch. It's that little thing. You know there's something not quite right and you try and hide from it. And I thought The Matrix was a wonderful film for explaining this. You know, it's like the elephant in the room, isn't it?
The words of Morpheus, like a splinter in your mind driving
you. Yeah, that's the one. That's what I was probably trying to think of, yeah.
Yeah.
Most definitely,
Because it can drive you nuts. And be forewarned, ladies and gentlemen, if you're new to this game, believe me when I tell you, there are some nuts people in the Truth Movement. There's nuts people in every movie.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a wonderful thing about it. But you know, I got a message from somebody today who suddenly had, you know, he started panicking. He said, you know, he just didn't know what to believe anymore. And he said, you know, he'd heard about David Icke talking about repeaters, who, like, we got teachers and politicians just repeating the same message. And he started thinking, oh, my God, the truthers are doing it. Because they're just repeating the same messages and nobody's done any sort of, you know, they're not doing any sort of research themselves. They're just repeating the same message. And I think at the end of the day, and just to be serious for 30 seconds, at some point you've actually got to take a deep breath and look inside yourself. Because I feel that if you quieten your mind enough, and what I've done a couple of 10-day Vipassana meditations where you go off and just like no religious indoctrination or nothing like that, although it's Buddhist in sort of background, but basically you have 10 days where you just meditate for 10 hours a day on the floor, and it's amazing how that clears and sharpens your mind. And it's not like you're dependent on outside sources, because when you hear something and you've got a clear mind, you can tell whether they're lying or not. You know, for me, I don't know if, you know, you remember Tony Blair, our Prime Minister.
Tony Blair? Tony Blair, did you say?
Yeah, that's the one. Tony Blair, that's the one, yeah, as opposed to say. Now, for me, I only had to look at him, and he didn't even have to move his mouth. I was just thinking, man, he was scary. More scary than our present Prime Minister.
Yeah, he scares me in the same way that our former Prime Minister Helen Clark scares me.
Right, yeah. Well, also, we had this
number
guy.
Isn't he number three at the UN? You got like a $9 billion budget or something to spend on African vaccinations. So,
Yeah. Well, she's probably working with bloody Mr. Microsoft, isn't she?
Oh yeah,
because he's got that sort of Microsoft, he's got that vaccination needle that he wants to get into all the black kids, isn't he?
Oh yeah,
right.
Bill Gates is strong on softness, like a good brand of toilet tissue.
Yeah. But he's doing it to save the world.
Yeah. He believes he is the toilet tissue cleansing out the backside of the earth of all these useless eaters, all these children. Oh, God, this is disgusting. It's just disgusting. My daddy was on the board of Planned Parenthood. We would never allow for black people to live. Oh, you're disgusting. Yeah. I think it's actually a more accurate representation than the, what was it with some kind of like, 60 Minutes in the States or something like that. Just basically, he paid the news studio to do a massive puff piece for him.
Yeah. I'm surprised he had to pay them.
Yeah, allegedly. I think it was just unbelievable the amount of BS he was just spewing, you know? Yeah, like, for example, the guy who exposed that autism's linked to mercury in the vaccines, and he was just rubbishing him and throwing all this libel out of his big, fat Microsoft mouth. You know, what kind of people do we have running the planet in so much control? You know, it sickens me quite substantially. And should sicken you too, ladies and gentlemen. John Witterick, is my guest, and we'll be back. Final segment coming right up after this little break here. Don't go anywhere. It's all about recognizing that the world you knew was gone, and you've got to change what is now, whatever the heck it is. You know, I don't know what this... It's like I'm looking down at the earth going, I don't know what this is, man. I don't know what it is. What is it? What is it? Has it got claws and fur and scales? Oh my God, what is it? What is this planet? It's disgusting. It's scary. It's like a giant spider creeping up on my leg with the hairy, furry, tentacle-like legs. Yes. Scary. That's what the Earth is, right? It seems to be occupied by all the vampiric scumbaggery. Now, John Witterick, final question that I try to ask guests on the show, if I can remember. We all self-censor a little bit. You know, we bite our tongues on certain issues, or we don't bring up things because it just doesn't come up in the conversation, or some might think it a bit too risque or controversial to mention. And so I try to give people the opportunity to forget all of that. And if you have anything to say that you wouldn't ordinarily otherwise, here's the place to do it.
Well, that's truly nice. Thank you. I suppose, yeah, I'm trying to talk about what's happening for me. It's what's happening this year. I think this year is actually... quite remarkable in as far as I wouldn't normally talk about this at sort of like truther meetings and things because sometimes you feel a bit they think you're a bit of a nutter, but I honestly feel that this year the fact that the Hopi Indians and the Mayans and so many all over the world, there's all these different cultures that are actually talking about, you know, this end times and whatever, and I don't honestly think that, you know, we're suddenly going to have a earthquake and the whole planet's going to explode or whatever, but I do think there's a huge shift going on, and it's a shift in consciousness, because that's what the Mayans were talking about, is consciousness, and that, you know, the fact that we are talking now about the things we're talking about 4 years ago, you know, people just weren't, you know, and I sort of woke up on the sort of truth thing, I don't know, about 10 years ago, I sort of started realizing what was going on, but I wasn't connecting, I wasn't talking to people. It was only in the last 5 years I've been doing that, but I realized that everything was all a little bit strange. But I feel there's a shift going on, and it's almost like, and people have mentioned this before, Ian Crane has done, he talks about the shift hitting the fan, and I really feel that it's all this what we're talking about, when that suddenly goes mainstream and people like us are aware of it, because it's growing exponentially, and there's only a certain amount of time before everyone wakes up and realizes. And the way I look at this sometimes is you get a band that's absolutely obscure. And say for example, you know, the band Nirvana, because that was one band that went from, you know, nothing. I'm sure Kurt Cobain made it to New Zealand, did he? But
I don't know. I was a baby.
Yeah, you're not that. I don't believe you. But that, the whole thing is that, you know, if you've got some, you know, creative talent that suddenly breaks through in consciousness, well, this is what is happening now. You know, whether it is, you know, bands do this, films do this. One moment, nobody's heard of them. The next moment, everyone knows it. And it happens absolutely instantly. And this is what's happening now. It's almost like we've got a breakthrough of the truth and a breakthrough of consciousness, because that's what it is. Because when your consciousness is, when you're living in fear and worry, and it, you know, it closes down, it's almost like building walls around yourself, because everyone you talk to, you think, oh my God, you know, I don't trust them, I don't believe them, you know, I don't trust anyone. And it's almost like, and this happens in the truth movement as well, because people get paranoid. But when you actually feel, you know, work from your heart, when your consciousness is not in your head worrying, when your consciousness is in your heart and you're actually feeling, actually, you know, it's great. You can feel very, very confident in the most remarkable situations. And you can also, like, feel and know that everything is going to work out perfectly, because we create our reality with our thoughts and intentions. Yeah, that's my monologue.
Yeah. I think that's about right. And I was talking to Ann Crane about shift hitting the fan as well. And I suggested that the next sequel to his shift, you know, series of lectures is Get Your Shift Together.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I like that a lot.
And the other thing about it is, it's like, if you want to accomplish something great, don't put your head into it, put your heart into it.
Yeah, no, that's very true, very true.
And, you know, the truth is, you've got to learn to follow your hearts, man. You know, don't let your anger and your hate drive you around. You know, that's something that is actually baggage. It's not something that's going to help uplift you and free you. It's actually caring. It's actually about doing things that are good and nice and useful for other people.
Well, on the way...
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, I lost you for a second there. On the website, what we sort of say to, you know, is, you know, when the debt collectors are phoning you up and they're being, like, really cross and angry, is treat them with respect. Don't be rude to them. You know, because, and also, don't go out and get loads and loads of credit cards and, you know, stuff them with our letters and then go out and buy a Porsche or a Ferrari, because you know better than they are. And so at some level, we have to set an example. And that if you want to live in a world where everyone's grasping for everything and then grasp for things, if you want to live in a world where there is respect and understanding and sharing, then start behaving that way. Because whatever you do, whatever actions you put out, that's going to come back. And if enough of us say, look, I'm tired of this constant warring, this constant grasping, this constant neediness, and say, look, I don't give a toss about all that. I just want to live and share and have some fun and, you know, and a little bit of love and respect. And, you know, and that's what's happening at the moment. And I believe we're a huge changing point for this planet.
Well, we're really teetering on the edge here. I mean, if we look at most of the revolutions throughout history, you know, big ones, like American Revolution, 3% of the population were involved, you know?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
People don't realize just how close we are to reaching that, like, couple of percent, you know?
Totally. And I've talked about this in my talks, is it's a 100th monkey effect. And you only need, it's not like we have to wake everyone else. We don't have to wake everyone up. We only have to wake up about 4 or 5% of the population. And when we do, it goes, you know, that's it. Everyone knows.
It goes mega viral.
And so, yeah, totally. And we know how powerful, and well, certainly our the powers that be, I mean, this Kony 2012, that went viral in no time. And, yeah, fortunately, most people realize, oh, another scam, you know, oh, another opportunity to invade Africa, you know, like as if we haven't got enough countries lined up to invade at the moment.
You say, yay, Africa!
Yes. Yeah, totally, totally.
Yeah, well, I think that's about pretty close to what we have time for, John. So if you have any final words and want to finally plug your website, now's the time.
Well, I can always plug the website. It's not like I'm plugging it to make money out of it. We accept donations and we offer sort of extra bits. But all the documents on the website are free of charge. All the documents to send off, so that if you're penniless and you're having difficulty, then we don't sort of say, oh, you've got to give us money. What we say, that everything is free. If you want a video tutorial or an ebook, then give us a fiver, which is about $7, I think. Then we'll give you the extras. Otherwise, everything is free. The forum is free. And what we're trying to do is just empower people to actually beat the system. And when they do that, they empower themselves. So, have some fun. And there's some great news on there, and there's a very lively forum. So just have a look and share it around. Spread the love.
Get out of debt free.org. Cutting it nice and fine and slim here. Thank you so much, John. It's been my my pleasure and an honour. And I also wanted to add that you, just like most of the guests that we have on this show, are actually brought to us and suggested to me by you, the listeners. So if you want us to interview somebody because they're of such renown and fabulousness that you think they'd do well on this show, most people do, whether they're huge or small, it doesn't matter at all. Just send them on through to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and click on the contact page there, and we will probably try and get them on regardless. All right, so John, anyway, thank you very much, and we'll see you again sometime, mate.
Thank you very much, Vincent.
And catch you again, ladies and gentlemen, assuredly.